الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين صدق الله العظيم. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all creation, our leader, our imam, our nabi, none other than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again reminding ourselves that is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed to pray our salah with jama'ah and to sit in the gathering of the teachings of the Holy Quran. Insha'Allah, we will continue on, and today we will be looking at and analyzing Surah At-Teen, which is a Makki Surah. Just to remind ourselves that in terms of revelation, the chapters of the Holy Quran are categorized into two categories, Makki and Madani. And rather than these reflecting the place where the chapters were revealed, they reflect the time when they were revealed. And the time of Makki means that the time before Hijrah, the time before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to the beautiful city of Al-Madinatul Munawwara. And those chapters that are labeled as Madani are those chapters that were revealed after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. So today, inshallah, we'll be looking at Surah At-Teen. Teen, in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam, takes an oath on four things. To remind ourselves again, there are many places in the Holy Quran. Soon we will have wal-duha, and then we will have wal-layli, and wal-shamsi, wal-qamari, wal-nahari, etc. In many places in the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on different creations. And just for the sake of the mas'ala, it is impermissible for mankind, for any creation to take a qasam on anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only permissible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take an oath on the creation. And the reason why this is done, the reason why an oath is taken, is to show the greatness of that thing. So when we take a qasam on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, by using the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are alluding to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And normally when we take a qasam on something, like we take a qasam on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, we want to bring some weight and try to make the person listening understand that what I am saying, I am putting in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a very serious matter. Trying to make them understand that, you know, what I am saying is the truth, and trying to emphasize what is being said. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He takes a qasam on the creation, when He takes an oath on the creation, when we indicate towards something that has been created in, to complement that thing, we are actually complimenting the creator of that thing. So for example, we say, look at this beautiful building. Say, oh, who built this building? Which company built this building? Yeah? Because we are trying to make people understand that it's not the building that's so great, it's the person who created this building. Oh, look at this painting, it's so beautiful. Who painted it? Like that. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on things that are created, He's actually attracting and bringing the attention to Himself, that who was the one that created the thing that I am taking a qasam upon. So in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on four things. First thing is at-teen. Teen basically means the fig. And inshallah, through all things, I'll say a few lines about each item that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam upon, and we'll go into why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on these things. So the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath upon is the fig, the fruit which is the fig. The reason there are many benefits of the fig. For example, a 4th century scholar, Abu Na'im al-Isfahani, along with a 5th century scholar, Abu Ishaq al-Tha'labi, rahimahumullah, they both have mentioned in books of medicine, in Kitab al-Tib, a narration on the authority of Hazrat Abu Zar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala an, that one of the benefits of figs is that they help with removing hemorrhoids, which are also known as piles, which is an illness that takes place in the intestines. So this is one of the benefits of figs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure all those people who have been afflicted with this illness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all illnesses. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Moving on, the second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath upon is the olive, al-zaytun, the olive, and the benefits of olives are well known. We even very famously have the olive oil, which is used for various purposes. It can be consumed orally, it can be applied to the body externally, and it has many benefits. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to also have olives as well. Some benefits of olives are they are considered to be an anti-inflammatory. They are good for the heart. They are rich in vitamin E. They are support the bones. They keep the bones strong. Also, it's possible that they can also prevent diseases such as cancer. And others have also said that they support the brain from aging, and they also definitely help with regulating appetite. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. So as we can see, the first two things, items of food that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have taken an oath upon, they are both very beneficial and very good for a person. We should try to include them into our diet regularly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. The third thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath upon is wa turi sinin. The Mount Tur, of Sinai, the Mount Tur of Sinai. Now, this is the mount on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conversed famously with Hazrat Musa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. The mount is called Tur and the area is called Sinin or Sinai, depending on different languages. In some languages it's known as Sinin, in other languages it's known as Sinai. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. So this mountain, where is it located, where is it situated? So if you look at the map, we have on the border of Egypt and Palestine, there is a triangular piece of land. There is a triangular piece of land called the Sinai Peninsula. The Sinai Peninsula. And in the southern area, of this Sinai Peninsula, there is the Jabal Tur. It's also known as Jabal Musa. I think this Jabal Musa is a more contemporary name, but anciently and most famously is known as Jabal Tur. On the northwestern side and corner of this triangular piece of land, this Sinai Peninsula, is where the Suez Canal, the very famous Suez Canal, which is a center for trade in the world today. That's where the Suez Canal passes through. And on the northeastern side, where Palestine is the utmost northeastern side, you'll find the Gaza Strip, where the people of Palestine and the people of Gaza are being oppressed and massacred today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them, protect them, and give them strength. And those who have passed away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the status of being from amongst the shuhada. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. And finally, the fourth thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath upon, وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ, and this peaceful city. And this peaceful city, it's referring to the city of Makkatul Mukarramah. The city of Makkatul Mukarramah. The ulama have given many different meanings of this. Some have said that whoever enters the city of Makkatul Mukarramah, their wealth is safe. Whoever enters the city of Makkatul Mukarramah, Makkah keeps them safe and at peace. And the third, the very close meanings, others have said that whoever enters the city of Makkatul Mukarramah, they are safe and peaceful. Very, very similar meanings. Now, we move on to the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken oath upon these things, and in what way are they connected. So there are many reasons why. One of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath upon these items and the way they are connected with each other is that the same way the Mount of Tur and the city of Makkatul Mukarramah, for obvious reasons, are full of blessings. The same way the fig and the olive, as we have mentioned already, some of the benefits of these fruits, the same way they are also full of blessings. This is one of the interpretations that the ulama of tafsir have given. Other interpretations actually goes a little bit deeper. And the meaning is that actually it's not actually referring to the fig and the olive, but actually it's referring to the place where the fig and the olive generally originate from. And the place where the fig and the olive generally originate from is Sham. So for example, in Palestine, we have the Mount of Olives. And generally in Sham, they grow quite abundantly. So now what is the connection between Sham, the Mount Tur in Sinai, and Makkatul Mukarramah? So the connection now is that they have in common is that Sham is the ma'adan, the place of so many prophets. So many prophets were born there, so many prophets lived there, so many prophets grew up over there, and so many prophets are also buried there. For example, Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam, also Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam's family moved from Sham to Egypt. Also Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim a.s. was originally in Sham. Thereafter, he took Hazrat Hajar a.s., Hazrat Ismail a.s., and they migrated. So as we can see, Hazrat Shu'ib a.s. also, there is, according to one opinion, his grave is in Jordan, which is part of Sham as well. And like that, there are so many prophets. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when he was passing away, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow him to pass away and be buried in the place of the prophets, which was Sham. According to one narration, Wallahu a'lam, his grave is a stone's throw away from Al-Aqsa. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. So in this way, they are connected. Obviously, we have the Mount Tur. This is where Hazrat Musa alayhi salam went, and he climbed, and he was called by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was upon this mount that Hazrat Musa alayhi salam conversed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In itself, such a privilege. Then this was also the reason why he became known as Kalimullah. Wa kallamallahu Musa taklima. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conversed with Musa alayhi salam. So he is given the title of Kalimullah. And then we have Makkah al-Mukarramah. As we know, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam was taken by Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam along with his mother Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam, and he was left there. This is where Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, he wasn't born here, but he grew up here. He became a young man here. He married here two times, and he lived his entire life here, and he also passed away here. One day, we were in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and my sister came back to the hotel, and she mentioned that someone had said to her that inside the hateem is the semicircle which is next to the Kaaba, which was originally part of the Kaaba at one time. However, the Quraysh could not find enough halal wealth to build the complete Kaaba, so they cut the Kaaba short. So originally the Kaaba was rectangular shaped, so they made it into square, and they left this this semicircle wall there to indicate what was the original Kaaba. So she said that inside the Hateem, there's the Mizab Rahmah, the golden gutter, where when rain falls on top of the Kaaba, the water comes down from this gutter. And she mentioned that underneath this this golden gutter, there is a white tile. So all the tiles in the Mataf, the Haram, are white. But she mentioned that directly underneath, there is a white tile with black spots on it. And this is where the grave of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam is. So at the time, I was just a child, but I wanted to know. And during this, many years ago, this is talking about, at the time, the Haram Sharif was open to everybody, in sense that we didn't have to tie the ihram on to go inside to the mataf. The hateem was open as well, especially outside of Ramadan. So immediately I rushed to the Haram, and I went into the hateem, and I went to the spot, and I found the tile. I actually found the tile with the black spots in it. So then, after I saw it, I understood that this is just, you know, something from some random person. Wallahu alam. Many years later, I was reading a book called Hashiyat al-Tahtawi, which is a commentary of Nurul Idha, a commentary of Nurul Idha, which is Maraqi al-Falah. So it's a commentary of a commentary of Nurul Idha, which is a famous Hanafi book. And it was within this book that I found the author had written that some scholars are of the opinion that directly underneath the Mizab Rahmah, Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam's grave there. So I actually found a text for it as well. Again, Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. So Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam was buried in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And also, as we know, the greatest of all mankind, the greatest of all creation, the leader of all the prophets, the seal of prophethood, our most beloved Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in this city of Makkah al-Mukarramah. He spent 53 years of his life in this city. He came back to conquer this city. So he spent the greatest of all. This was the place of his birth, and majority of his life was spent in Makkah al-Mukarramah as well. So in this sense, the Sham, Mount Sinai, and Makkah al-Mukarramah, they are all connected in the sense that they have some prophetic background. They are connected to great Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ.
Verily, we create, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ.
La, this lam over here, this lam is for ta'kid, it's for emphasis. Along with it, we have the word qad, which is also used for emphasis. So, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ. Indeed, we have created mankind. خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانِ. We have created mankind. فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. In the best of compositions. Now, this word taqweem generally refers to the perfection of the creation and construct of something on a fundamental basis. What it means is that the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human body is perfect. It's so complex and complicated, and the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us from inside, internally and externally, from a physical sense and a biological sense, that basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created as the best, as opposed to other animals, in terms of how we look, in terms of our beauty, and also there are many. So for these three verses, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. I'm going to recite them together, and I'm going to do the tafsir of them all together. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ. And then we returned him to the lowest of the low. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. Except for those who have bought faith, who have bring iman, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they have done good deeds. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. So for them is a never-ending reward. For them is a never-ending reward. So we mentioned that this was referring to the physical body of mankind. There is a 6th century scholar whose name was Hafiz ibn Arabi rahimahullah. He says that the reason why there is no creation better than humans is because along with life, this is general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given life to all creation. So along with life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us knowledge, He has given us ilm, He has given us qudra, He has given us the ability to do things, He has given us speech, He has given us the ability to speak, to hear, He has given us the ability to see, and to the ability of doing tadabbur, to contemplate, and the ability of rationale. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this along with intellect and wisdom. And he goes on to say that in reality, these are all the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why we are preferred above other creation. Now, other creation may have some of these qualities, but they will not have all of these qualities. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا قَاتَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ. When you fight with your brother, فَلْيَجْتَنِبِ الْوَجْهِ. Do not hit on the face. فَلْيَجْتَنِبِ. Stay away from the face. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ آدَمَ عَلَى صُورَتِهِ. Because verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Adam alayhi salam upon his surah, upon his attributes. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim, hadith number 2612, for reference purposes. Now, this hadith, it cannot possibly mean physical qualities, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from a physical body. So the only meaning of this hadith can be that it is talking about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to some degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And it is basically, what it's trying to say is that we have been given the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's through these attributes that we are then preferred and we have a higher status than other creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This high status referring strictly to how we are, how, as the human body, how we function, and the abilities that we have. Now, there is one, before I go on to the multiple different interpretations of these verses, there is in Tafsir Qurtubi, Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah has mentioned a rather amazing story. And he mentions that there was a man. His name was
Isa ibn Musa al-Hashmi, who was a minister of the Khalif Abu Ja'far Mansur, who ruled from the year 136 Hijri to 158 Hijri. He was the second Khalif of the Abbasid Khalifa. And this man, Isa ibn Musa al-Hashmi, it says about him that he loved his wife very, very much. And he, you know, he had a lot of love for her. He says, one evening, this story I actually heard first time from my own ustad, as the Sheikh Marziya al-Haq Sab, Damal Barakatuh, many years ago during Dars. And he mentioned that one day, you know, it was a moonlit night. It was nighttime and the moon was out. And as you know, on a moonlit night, especially the full moon, the moon is and does look very, very beautiful. So he was sat with his wife in the moonlit evening. And in a moment of ecstatic love, it can only be described as ecstatic love, he went and said to his wife, "Anti taliqun thalathan illam takuni ahsana min al-qamar." That I've given you three divorces if you are not more beautiful than the moon. And he said it in a moment of ecstasy, in a moment of, you know, he was, had so much love in that moment for his wife, and he just said it. Upon hearing this, his wife immediately stood up and went into parda. And understanding that I have been divorced. Why? Because how can any human be more beautiful than the full moon? It's not possible. The moon is so beautiful and I'm not as beautiful as the moon. Now, the minister Isa ibn Musa al-Hashmi, he spent his night in a very, very restless state, in a state of anxiety and worry and concern, and he's turning and tossing and turning and he's not sleeping. Oh, what have I done? What have I done? So in the morning he goes to Khalif, the Khalif Abu Ja'far al-Mansur, and he explains what happened the night before. So the Khalifa, what he does is he calls all the leading scholars, and they all say that the talaq, three talaqs have been established, three divorces have been established, because no woman, no man, no human can be more beautiful than the moon, except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, you know, all of the scholars, the leading scholars of fiqh, the fuqaha, and the muftiyani kiram, they're all saying that, no, the talaq has been done. There was one scholar sat there quietly, and this scholar was a student of the great Imam, Imam Ya'azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. So the Khalifa said to him, that, what are you saying? You're very quiet. You know, what have you got to say? So upon being questioned, the scholar said, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wat-tini waz-zaytun wat-turi sinin wa hadhal baladil amin. Laqad khalaqnal insana fi ahsani taqwim, thumma radadnahu asfala safilin, illa alladhina amanu wa 'amilus salihati falahum ajrun ghayru mamnun. Fama yukadhdhibuka ba'du bid-din." أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. And he recited this surah and he said that talaq has not been done. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. And ahsan is the sigha of afalu tafdil, which means the best. So, out of all the creation, Allah himself has said that the humans are the best. So this includes the moon, that the humans are better than the moon. So this means that the wife of Isa ibn Musa is more better than the moon. And upon hearing this, the entire jama'ah, the entire congregation of scholars, they were stunned into silence at the, you know, the depth of his understanding and knowledge. And then afterwards, the minister was given the good news that you have not divorced your wife. And indeed, you are still in, she is still in your marriage. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from making such erroneous mistakes in our kalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all marriages and keep those people who are married may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase the love and affection between them and protect them from the makar and the plans and the evil plot of the shayateen. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Moving on, we have the verses ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. Now, inshallah, it seems that the time is up now. And inshallah, we will continue with the second part of the tafsir in the next week. Just for one final point. Indeed, when we look at the human body, we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in a most amazing way. Just on a recent trip, I was speaking to an individual who had studied the human body to some degree. And he mentioned, he actually had studied embryology, which is the study of the womb and the creation of the baby and the fetus. So he mentioned that, you know, the men, their intestines, they are longer and take up more space than the woman's, because in the woman's body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made space for the womb there. And things like this, he mentioned many other things and facts regarding the veins inside the body. When you study the body, you find the intricacy, the sensitivity inside the body, these small, tiny veins, each of them have different functions, how they control different aspects of how the functions of the human body. It is absolutely amazing. And, you know, this is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many, many secrets of the body, even till today with the advancement of science and the development of technology. They have not been able to discover the secrets of the human body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in such a beautiful way, with such mastery that is unparalleled. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to appreciate and to be able to do shukr for all of these bodily functions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to act upon the teachings of the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us true love and give us the true understanding of the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the men of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran an intercessor for us on the day of Qiyamah, the day when no intercession will be accepted, and the intercession of the Quran will be accepted. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to recite the Holy Quran every single day. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbal Alameen. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك